Certainly good to be here with you today. Glad to see all those present with us here this morning. Brother Edward said previously, I'd like to welcome each of you to Memorial Day here at Ephesus when we remember and honor those that have gone before us. And being Father's Day, we'd like to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day today. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about fathers. I remember one time I read an article about Hallmark gift card, greeting cards, where they decided that at a prison they were going to provide all the men that wanted to send a Mother's Day card, they were going to pay for the cards and the postage and everything, and it was very successful. Over 90% of the prisoners participated in that to send a free card to their mothers. So they thought, well, we'll do the same thing for Father's Day. Well, it didn't turn out very well. Hardly anybody did. So what it kind of pointed out was is the reason a lot of these people might have been in prison was because they didn't have a father figure in their life. They didn't have somebody that they looked up to like they did their mothers. My dad passed away when I was 11 years old, and he worked for the Alabama Power Company, and he had two job offers for promotions within the company in the last 2 years before he passed away. But both of them were in Alabama, in different towns, and we went and visited both of those towns. And the first thing my daddy looked at was it was five of us kids, where we were going to go to school and where we were going to go to church at. That was the two things. The job would have paid more money, but that wasn't his number one concern. It was where we were going to school and where we were going to church at. And after we visited both of these places, he turned down both jobs because he didn't feel like that was what was best for his family. And within 2 years of then, he passed away. And, you know, as you know, bad as that was for my mother to have five kids and home, it would have been a lot worse if we'd have been in a different place where we hadn't known people for years and so forth. So fathers have a very important role in our earthly family, and then we're also going to talk about our Heavenly Father as well. Let's look over to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 as we look at the duties of fathers to lead their families. Joshua chapter 24, again with verse 15. Joshua speaking here said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods, lowercase g, which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods, lowercase g, of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So what will your answer be? Or what will my answer be? Who are we going to serve? Next, we'll look over to Genesis chapter 17, again with verse 4, as we look at Abraham here, the father of many nations. Genesis chapter 17, beginning with verse 4, we see God here speaking to Abraham. "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of these, and kings shall come out of thee." So we see here where Abraham was blessed by God to be the father of many nations. Then we look over to 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. We see David here urging his son Solomon to continue in God's ways, that he was toward the end of his life. 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, "There shall not fail thee," said he, "a man on the throne of Israel." So again, David realized that his time in this earth was about over, and he wanted to pass the torch to Solomon for him to keep God's word. Then we look over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, begin with verse 4. As we look at the duties of fathers, again, to pass on God's law. Deuteronomy chapter 6, begin with verse 4. Moses speaking here says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." So that's pretty much all the time, isn't it? To have the word of God before them, to have it written, to talk about it early, late, throughout the day. And again, it's so important that, again, no matter what kind of inheritance we might give our children, our grandchildren, but to give them a heart for God and for his word. Then we look over to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. As we continue to look at the duties of fathers to pass on God's word, Solomon said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, that's a very simple verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We know many are raised up as Christians in the church, and sometimes they do depart. But at least they have that foundation in their life that maybe sometime in the future that they will come back to the Lord, that they will know the truth and come back to it. Next, we look over to Ephesians chapter 6, begin with verse 1. Again, we look at the duties of fathers. Teach your children, yet do not provoke them. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. We see the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And we notice in verse 2 here, it talks about honor thy father and mother. Sometimes we think about, well, my father and mother, for me, it's already passed from this life, and many of you may be the same. But you know, our actions of what we do can honor our parents even after their death, because we know maybe the things that they would have us to do and not to do, and we don't want to bring dishonor to them with our lives. And also, when the children are to obey their parents, the fathers, as it talks about in verse 4, are not to provoke their children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have a similar phrase, passage over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, as the Apostle Paul was speaking here to the church at Colossae. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So they are to give correction and guidance, but not to the point that they would be discouraged. Then we look over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives as Jesus loved the church." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we see the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Ephesus. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So that's a tremendous responsibility for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, knowing that he did give his life for the church. Then we continue on in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. "Our Heavenly Father is a loving Father that wants to bless us." Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 9, Jesus speaking here says, "Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, you will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil or worldly, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So we have a Heavenly Father that wants to bless us. Then we look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. We have but one Heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, the Apostle Paul here again speaking to the church at Corinth. But to us there is one God, the Father of whom all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by Him. So there is only one God, one Father, and one Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this thought continued over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Paul speaking again to the church at Ephesus said, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Next we look over to Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 29. We have an all-knowing Heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 29. Again, we see Jesus speaking here. Are not two sparrows sold for one farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And you know, you think about that. If you look at me, you know God's with me every day, because He'd be counting every day because I'm losing some. But all the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's an intimate knowledge of you. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before the Father which is in heaven. And then we also look at a similar thought over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. It's the Apostle Paul speaking here at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. Paul speaking says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit, and the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And you know, we think about this verse 9 here. So many times we buy something in this, we see it advertised on TV, or we order it, or we get it home, and it's not what we thought it was going to be. But what God's saying about the promises of the things that He has prepared for us, they're beyond our imagination. Ever how good we thought they were going to be, they're even better than that. Again, in verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Next we look over to Psalms chapter 139, begin with verse 7. Psalms chapter 139, beginning with verse 7. We have a Heavenly Father that is everywhere, always. That's kind of hard for our mortal minds to comprehend, but God is all-knowing and He is everywhere all the time. Psalms chapter 139, beginning with verse 7, we see the psalmist David writes, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance are fashioned when it was yet was none of them. So that's an incredible passage to think about. God knew us in our mother's womb before we were even born. Next, we'd like to look over at Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. As we read about a man here named Cornelius. Being a good father is not enough to save your soul. Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house and gave much alms or charity to the people and prayed to God always. So we think about today, we'd love to have Cornelius as a neighbor. He'd be a good friend. He'd be a good co-worker. He was a good man, a good neighbor, and very charitable. He gave to those in need. He was a religious man. He feared God. He prayed to God always. But you know what? One thing that Cornelius did not have, he didn't have Jesus in his life. He was not a Christian. So Peter was commanded to go and talk to Cornelius and to tell him what to do. Of course, this is where the Gentiles were joined in to be Christians. But in Acts chapter 10 and verse 47, after Peter preached here to Cornelius, he told Cornelius what he needed to do to become a Christian. And in verse 47, he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" In verse 48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So again, being a good father is not enough to save our soul. Not to be a good citizen, a good person. We have to become a Christian. So there's a passage we started off with about who are we going to serve. Again, we read the passage from Joshua 24 and 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So what will your answer be? What will my answer be? There is but one Lord and one Jesus, and that's the one that we have to serve. So what is required for a person to be saved? We must hear the gospel in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We must believe in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We must confess, even the way that the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. And in verse 37, after Philip had preached to him Jesus, he said, "Here is water. What hindereth me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We must repent of our sins. In Acts chapter 17, verse 29 and 30 says, For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We must be baptized for remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, when the first gospel sermon was preached, there were some there that physically took a part in crucifying our Lord and Savior. And in verse 37, they said, "What can we do?" In verse 38, Peter answered them and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And also in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, we see the commandment of Jesus. And he turned and said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And then we must remain faithful. It says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And sometimes as Christians, sometimes we stray away. Sometimes we go back into the world, and we do have the opportunity to be restored through prayer. And James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." is there any here today that have never rendered obedience to the gospel, of those that have and need the prayers of the church for restoration or strengthening, we ask you to come while we stand and sing. The song's been selected.